generous welcome here this morning. And I've heard about this wonderful group, and I feel as if I'm among friends, because I look out and I see familiar faces, some that we've known over 35 years, and have colleagues that we've walked with, and have been very much part of our lives. So it's a real blessing to be here this morning, and just to have fellowship together. Isn't it sweet? Sweet. And hearing testimony too of the blessing it is when we hear the fruit of our lives shared among us, you know. And so, well, yes, I have, my husband was promoted to heaven. And so isn't that good news? That's good news, you know. I didn't ever think I could say that, but I can. I can truly say that it is good news when we are promoted to heaven. You know, that's, as Christians, that's where we're heading. You know, we're not of this world. You know, we're not of this world. You know, we are heading to a glorious home in heaven. And it's just that he's just gone before us, before me and before many of you who have known him. And I can rejoice. That's strange that I can say that. Because we lost a daughter at 16 with a brain tumour suddenly also. And I couldn't say that for many, many, many months and even years. I mean, I knew the theory of it. I knew that it was a vast track for her. And some of the time I could say it, but there was deep grief in my heart. But this time with Morris, honestly, I can really, really walk in these last 15 months and say, what a glorious place he's in. What an amazing place he's in. And we sometimes would laugh and say, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And that's so true. So who knows? Today, tomorrow, I too could be there. And you too.
Yes.
Could be there. We don't know our day or our hour. For Morris, he woke up on a Friday morning, an ordinary Friday morning. Went out and brought in a rotary hoe, and within half an hour, promoted to heaven. Sudden heart attack. So we don't know. Our days are numbered by the Lord. And I can rejoice because I know where he is. I know he'll be laughing his head off to think that I'm having to bring the wood in, which I never thought I could. I can ring up electricians. I've bought a new car, not a new car, but it's new to me. He'll be laughing. He'll be laughing. He'll say, oh, Miriam, I didn't think you could do any of those things because you said, well, you do it. You know, I can't do that. And here I have to do it. So I'm going to be talking this morning about maximising change. Maximising change. Because we're all in it. We've all come through many, many changes. But it's to keep on each day, realising that change is all around us. You know, change of churches, change of friends, change of lost loved ones, change. I wake up in the morning and I think, it's fancy me having to eat breakfast on my own. I always thought he would go. I would go first. But no. He did. He was strong. He was 6'4" and always seemed so strong. Ex-detective and police officer. I've had one hip replaced 10 years ago, just coming out of recovery with my second hip replaced. I was the one, compared with him, I didn't feel too strong. Strong in faith, I pray. Strong in my spiritual walk. But physically, when it came to together pulling the plough, I always felt he was pulling physically. But here I am, maximizing change. And God is with us. So I just want to say, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. How much do we know Him? How much do we trust Him? It's in crisis and in change that we find out what we're standing on, who, what we are believing in, what has been written upon our hearts. You know, written in our hearts, not just here, but what do we truly believe in? What shakes us and what doesn't shake us? What disturbs us and distresses us? And what doesn't rock our boat at all? What storm can we go through and the boat goes calmly through? And what storm do we go through and the boat rocks? Oh my goodness me, we rock, we don't sleep, we're distressed, we're anxious. But at other times, smooth sailing, because we have weathered the storm before. And our God is able. Our God is able. And so that's what I want to talk about. If change is a given, which it is, winter to spring, 10 years to year old to 20, 30, changing. Look at us. How did we get here? How did we get here? I'm 70 this month. I've got to tell someone. This is my mother. This is what my mother did. Now I'm doing it. How did we get here, girls and boys? Hey. But we are here. And let's negotiate the changes with joy in our hearts. You know, God never changes. See, God, His character, what is it about the God that doesn't change? His character doesn't change. His nature, His integrity, His word, who He is, never changes. He is the rock of our salvation. He is our past, our present, and our future. The same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is constant. He is omnipresent. He is faithful. He is gracious. He is forgiving. God is who He says He is. But you see, some people think that we should be doing church the way we did it 200 years ago. We should be doing, raising our children, our next generation should be raising the children the way we did, because we did it right. I mean, all tap, tap, tap. Now they don't do it, they don't sit up at the table straight. They don't all assemble at the table to say grace. Grace has said that someone will come in late. Oh my goodness me, they're not doing it the same. You see, those things are cultural. Those things are habits, are manners. And they're the etiquette that's been built into our culture, often around Christian values. Often around Christian values. But those are the things that change with the culture. If you go to India, they don't sit on chairs, they might sit on the floor. They don't eat with knives and forks properly, and just use a fork sometimes these days. Ta-ta. But it's cultural, because when you go to India, they will eat with their left hand. Cultural, see. And sometimes it's good to get out of our culture, to realize that, hey, this isn't about God. This is about culture, and some things do change. And of course, we hear of, I testify of my husband. husband's promotion, and I hear some of you too have facing grief and loss. Okay, there are five approaches to change. Some people watch things change. These are the people that, it's a passive approach. It's an approach of indifference. No real interest in it, of its impact. They're disengaged and they're not participators. So we can go through change and be a watcher, an observer, sit in the grandstand. Number two, people let things happen. Oh, well, you know, resigned, defeated, fatalistic approach. Oh, well, you know, this is really nothing, you know. I can do nothing about this. I'm a wounded soldier. I've had so many disappointments in my life. I'm just going to curl up in front of TV. I'm going to just go out and dig the worms in my garden, and I don't really want to see too many people. I've had too much happen in my life. And there's a lostness, an emptiness. I can feel it here today, an emptiness. This is your temptation. This is what you're tempted to do, just to isolate and separate yourself amongst the disappointment and grief and loss. Number three, some people ask what happened in the change. They are inquisitive. They're curious. They often never perhaps saw the change coming, but and they weren't prepared for it, and I can say that. I thought we'd have 15 more years, at least, because God's wonderful. So that within that, there is change. Number four, people often deny or defy what happens. They resist the change in their life. They're wasting valuable time and energy. If we resist, we get stuck, and we lose hope within the changes, then there comes a dissipating of our energy, and we harden our hearts. But there are people that make things happen and change. And I was talking when I came in this morning to my friend, and we were talking, someone here, and we've got a common friend, and her name's Greta. And Greta is 88 now, and I've known her for 35 years, or even longer, perhaps 40. And she's a single woman, and she's been a Christian for most of those years. And Greta, you know, she's gone through the different decades. She's just been ahead of me. And I've noticed at different decades, she has changed to accommodate her situation. When she was in her 50s, she did a lot of housekeeping for families in the church. She'd do the ironing. And she gained her company and her ministry through serving. She would turn up at my place and she would do the ironing and she would chat. She'd want to chat to you. She'd want company of the family life. And she would come and she would iron and she would hear all the arguments that went on in the family home. And I guess she felt it was a bit grounded. That life was a bit real rather than just living on her own all the time. And then when she, in the last phase, she would say to me sometimes, you know, nobody really visits me. And I would say, well, you go and visit them, Greta. And she would like people to come and see her vegetable garden and admire her beautiful roses that were climbing up all over the front of the house. And that was a very lovely hope. But she was out a lot of the time, so people didn't quite know when to come. But she got smart. And she thought, well, if people aren't coming, she took on board the council. And so she decided to go and take caffeine, started up about 15 years ago, 10 years ago. So she started going to the cafes. And we were all quite amazed. The people that knew her thought, Betsy Greta coming to the cafe. It was like, Greta, you know, she came from such a religious background and such a proper little lady with a bun when we met her. And then she got the bun cut off and, you know, she changed and she changed and she changed. And now every day she goes to a cafe. Well, it's marvellous for Greta because she meets all these people. And she gets to talk about Jesus to the ones who she can plug a little thought or a word of testimony to. And then she gets to know the people behind the counter. And she goes to a different cafe and she goes to the library. And about 2 o'clock she comes home again. And she's full of all sorts of things and people that she's met. And I am amazed. And I talk about reinventing herself and change. She now lives in a retirement village and is very happy there. But she has been able to maximise change. Culturally so different from where she's come from, what's like. But she's maximised and she is very happy and full of the Lord. Full of God and people she meets, she has maximized change. The only way to move forward is to initiate the desired change as led by God and to address unwanted change constructively. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The only way to move forward is to initiate the desired change as led by God. As God places it in our hearts, as God inspires us and motivates it, then we become partner. We partner with the Holy Spirit's grace upon our life, His ability to address it and to constructively move forward. So I'm going to turn to Luke 4 this morning and just talk about, you know, the Holy Spirit is the change agent. He comes to work in our lives and around our lives to bring about change. Before we are saved, the Holy Spirit is present to draw us to Christ. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we commit and surrender our lives to Him, the Holy Spirit comes into us. And that's how we're born again, born of the Spirit. But then there's a second experience. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and empowered them as witnesses. And they were baptized in the Spirit. And that becomes our enabler. He becomes the change agent in our lives that gives us the ability to change. So here, in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This is the mandate that Jesus had. And this is when He came out of the wilderness, having been tempted by the enemy. And He came to Nazareth, His hometown. And He stood up in the synagogue, where He would have been since He was a little boy. He would have gone to the synagogue. But here He stood at the age of 30. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. To preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to preach the good news, to set the captives free, to bring out of prison those who are locked in and bound, and to declare the year of the Lord's favour." And truly it was the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophetic, that came upon the earth 2,000 years ago, and we still celebrate it today, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon each one of you to fulfill the call of God that has been placed within you. You know, there's no going back. There's no turning aside. There's only onward Christian soldiers marching to glory. We're marching forward. And why? Because the Spirit of God rests upon us. We are mantled. We are cloaked. We are empowered by the Spirit of God to move forward no matter what is our past. We are moving forward with the changes that has been brought about by God. You know, God didn't wake up on the Friday morning and say, "Whoops, Morris, what are you doing here? You weren't supposed to come here today." Oh, no. The angels in heaven rejoiced. Jesus was there to welcome him through the gates of glory to take our occupancy in heaven forever. You see, that's our God. That's our God. And we walk with him and we talk with him. And through the seasons of change, we maximize them. This is what change does, people. This is what, rejoice in change. Rejoice in change. Because even in the deeps of despair, within change, it draws something out of us. Change draws out our potential. That which is hidden, that which is dormant, that which is untapped, God comes by his Spirit and he ignites our heart. He ignites the gifts that are within us. Whoa! Whoa! See, who knows about the Holy Spirit? Hey, and the power of God. See, the power of God is powerful. And that which you see on me today is a prophetic anointing. Well, when I talk about the gifts, you see that activates, the Holy Spirit activates around me. And I begin to intercede under the power of the Holy Spirit. I've done this for more intensely since the Toronto wave broke out over the international church. Wow! And it's very exciting to know the power of the Holy Spirit that releases our potential. Whoa, you see, God wants to bring breakthrough over you. God wants to release potential over you. God wants to loose you from your mindsets, the things that you say you can't do. Like, I couldn't bring in the wood. I couldn't buy a car. There's lots of things I couldn't do because, oh, Morris, you're so good at it. You can do that. And that's good when there's a part, when we're in partnership. That's a husband and wife working together. And that was appropriate for that season. But I'm in a new season. And do you know what the amazing thing I realized after a couple of weeks of Morris's leaving? I've got a new husband. And he's perfect. He always wanted a perfect husband. Us girls aren't so pure, are we? You know, we want our husband, if they're very good at this, we want them to be excellent at that as well. You know, crazy stuff. But now I've got the perfect husband. You know what? I had to sell my car because it wasn't suitable for what I needed to do now. And I was without a car while I had this hip replaced because I couldn't drive in any case, 7 weeks. The day I could drive, my new car came up the drive. That's my husband. That's my Jesus. Amazing stuff. When I had to go into surgery, and I thought, how will I manage now on my own? You know, that was a big shift for me to work it out in my head. Because Morris was always there to encourage me, sit by my bed, do support me as I was with him. But when I went into surgery, the surgery came at the right time, at the beginning of the holidays. I had a daughter and a daughter-in-law, two families in Christchurch, and 5 grandchildren. And that surgery came right on time because both my daughter and daughter-in-law were not working because of the holidays with children. So they were available to look after little me. It couldn't have been more perfectly timed. God can even sort out the health system for you. He can even arrange that. He can arrange it. Don't stress. Don't worry. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It's this that gets in the way, you know. It's the stinking thinking. The way we've been trained. Let's have our minds renewed and trained by the Holy Spirit, by His Word that comes to catch us up and all that He's got for us. Whoa! See that? Yeah. I'm going to prophesy. Whoa! Yeah, God, the Holy Spirit is working over your lives to bring a release and a loosening from fears and doubts and anxieties that are not of Him. He wants to come and breathe His Spirit upon you, that you can be caught up with Him. Caught up. John was caught up on the Isle of Patmos, where he communed with the Lord. And we need to know what it is to commune with the Lord. Commune with Him deeply. That the Spirit of God comes and we pray. Pray in tongues. If you can't pray in tongues, I'll pray with you this morning to see that gift come. Because praying in tongues is a heavenly language that you can have. Amazing. How amazing is that? A hotline to God. How many of you wouldn't be without your cell phones now? That's a pretty hotline. Some of you don't like them at all. Some of you have a sort of love-hate relationship, which I guess you do too, but when it works very well. It's communication. And, you know, praying in tongues is a heavenly language that God comes. Whoa! To release upon you this morning. So I'd love to pray with you. All right. So you can see change not only challenges potential, it pressures potential, and it releases potential. And some of the things I've shared are just small things, but they're very real things, aren't they, in our lives. But God will harness afresh your potential and change. And you can be as excited, as I draw to a close, about your relationship with Him and how He's coming through you, like Shirley shared about the prayers being answered. Excited. God, what are you going to do today? God, what are you going to provide? God, who am I going to meet? God, what are you going to do? Because you are there by your Spirit to harness change and to open up the new day that was for Esther. Think about Naomi. You know these characters well. What a story of Naomi. What a story of Esther. What a story of King of David, where he came from. And in all the losses and changes of his life, the disappointments, but change was harnessed. Change, despair, grief, warfare, many battles. But King David was the greatest king that's ever sat on the throne of Israel. And I love to hear you praying for Israel this morning. Ordinary people, broken people, sinners, all of them, but God raised them up to change and influence. the nations. You too are raised up for such a time as this.
Amen.
Okay, let's just pray as I finish. Wonderful God. God, you're ever present. You're ever, Lord, our strength in times of sorrow. You're our foreguard and our rear guard. And God, today I pray that wherever you're speaking, God, wherever you're bringing change, God, wherever you're causing ones to step out of the boat, are going onto the water of faith and of serving and of pushing through to reach their potential, God, I pray that that would happen today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, just as I finish, this is a book that my husband Morris wrote, and it's Empowered by the Spirit. So I bought some copies, because if you are interested in learning more about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is an excellent book. It's a local book. It's a book that's written in our own context of New Zealand, Oxford, and talks about Morris's conversion briefly, and then it talks about how we can work with in partnership with the Holy Spirit to grow and to see God do the impossible. So that's an excellent book, $20. It's a bit of a, but it's worth it. It's excellent for using, like if you're running a group or if you're talking with young folks, you know, children, kids, and you want them to learn, give them a book. Because they can read it at their own time, in their own private. In small groups, we've used this to, you know, read a chapter and then come back and talk about it as a group. It's a great way. It's a catalyst of saying, well, what's this about? I've heard about this speaking in tongues, but, you know, and you read the chapter and you hear the testimonies and let's talk about it. And it's a great way to begin to move forward. All right? So, now, if anyone would like to be prayed for, you feel really welcome to stay behind. And I'm very happy to pray with you and the others that will pray with you. But don't leave this morning not receiving what you are hungry and what you would love to see God do. And I'll join my faith with you at this time. But God bless you.